I was, you saw just now, I picked Hannah, simply because we talked about her, last week. And, I was going to title this, Mom of Faith. Then I thought, there'll probably be two, maybe three moms here. If I entitled it a Mom of Faith, maybe half of you will shut your ears. So I broadened the scope a little bit and said, okay, let's put a, can I put men, right? Put a woman of faith. And I'm sure all of us men would have many lessons to learn, because it was a woman who brought us into life. And today I want to talk about, we won't read the passage, we read it last week already extensively at the camp, so I'm just going to pick up a couple of things. I'd like us to look at five things of this mom of faith, five things of this woman of faith. And you know the story, you know, chapter 1 begins with her and the husband, and she had an issue, she had a problem. And the first trait that of a woman of faith is that the problem was evident in her life. A lot of times we read the Bible and it says, hey, you know, this great men of men and women of faith in stories in the Bible. But if you read the Bible, they are actually real people with real problems exercising real faith. And the first thing that I like us to think about is, you know, this God works through real people. And while these real people are there, they're not supernatural. It's not, you know, X-Men or something like that, right? They had real problems. And in the midst of that, they exercised real faith. A wife's role at that point of time was, well, one of it was, of course, to produce children, and to extend the family. And you read the Bible, there are many cases of women who had battles with barrenness. Okay, remember Sarah and Abraham? She had a problem, you know. She struggled with this whole issue. Rebecca, Isaac had that problem. Rachel, Jacob had that problem. Ruth, Boaz had that problem. Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, Elizabeth, Zechariah, had that problem of, you know, barrenness. And when you think about that, you think about a person like Hannah, and she was in that predicament, in that issue. She had that problem, you know, struggling with that. And today we think of Mother's Day, right? If there was Mother's Day at that point of time, can you imagine how Hannah would have felt? Hannah would probably say, what's the point? You know, what's all this big fuss about Mother's Day? There's absolutely no meaning at all in this whole issue of Mother's Day. Let's pause for a moment. And I know for some of us here, Mother's Day is a big thing. Some, well, it's just a day in the calendar. Wake up in the morning, you know, climb, maybe like Kelvin or that, climb on the bed and say Happy Mother's Day. And then after that, that's it. That's the end of the, that's all about Mother's Day. You know, some of us, maybe, I don't know, we may not have had a good relationship with our moms. And therefore, we think of Mother's Day, doesn't mean anything to me. Perhaps there are some of us, you know, mom is no longer around. And we really miss mom. And so when Mother's Day comes, we struggle with Mother's Day. Maybe others, you know, mom is coming of age. Mom is perhaps sick. And you don't know how long will mom still be around. And you struggle with mom's Mother's Day. And possibly, and I believe so, Hannah, you know, if you talk about Mother's Day, at that point of time, if there was Mother's Day, Hannah would say, doesn't mean anything to me. it's rip-off, like some people say. It's nothing to do with me. But we know the story that while she struggled with that, that problem was evident in her life. You know, one of the things of people of faith, then, and I believe now as well, was that they had problems. Problems were evident. And while Elkanah, the husband, tried to honor her by giving her double portion and all, you know, in those days, that's how they honor a person. They give them double portion. They give them more. You know, everything is bigger than, everybody else. That's honor. And in some cultures today, we see that as well. You go to places like, you know, India, Bangladesh, if you are a guest in a house, and you eat with them, your meal is bigger than everybody else. Why? Because that's a sign of, you know, honor. They are honoring you. You know, and so you've heard stories, we have to eat with one hand covering the plate, and the other hand. Because if you take your hand away, they honor you even more. And they pile rice on top of your plate. You know, we have cultures which are still doing that today. And in those times, you see the story of Elkanah, he gave Hannah a double portion so that she could go and worship. Why? Because she was precious to him and she honored him. But yet, the problem was still evident in her life. The problem was still there. And the problem we find in verse 5, verse 6, the Lord closed her womb. Remember that? All right, the Lord closed her womb that she could not bear children. Some of the hardest lessons I believe we will ever learn is when our problems are given to us by God Himself. Now, a lot of times we think that, hey, God's not the one that, you know, caused all these problems. But here you read in the story of Hannah, the Lord Himself closed the womb. The Lord Himself did not allow her to have a child. And very often, we'll rather blame the devil. We'll rather blame Satan. But we need to recognize that God is in control of all things. Let's go to the next slide. Job chapter 2, verse 10. You know, at the end of the day, he said this, shall we accept good from God and not trouble, while his life, you know, everything that he had was taken away from him? Job said this, shall we accept good and not trouble? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. When times are good, be happy. Actually, we should read this. We are going to create culture, right? Okay, let's go. Ecclesiastes 7. Ready, one, two, go. When times are good, but when times are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other. When times are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other. In other words, He has given us the good as well as the bad. Elkanah comes to Hannah and says, hey, why so sad? You know, don't I mean more to you than, 10 sons? You know, a lot of times, guys try to solve the problem. Right? Try to patch things out, solve the problem. Correct? When they fail to understand what the woman was going through. And so, problems are evident in Hannah, and in fact, men and women of faith. Let's pause for a moment and ask ourselves this question. Do we welcome problems? Maybe you should turn to your neighbor and say, hey, I need more problems. Not from you. Definitely. What do we do when we when we have a certain problem, when we face problems, do we say this, you know? Do we run away and say, hey, you know, I don't need any more problems, run away? Right? Or do we take it, embrace it, and say, God, where are you leading me? How are you teaching me through these problems? Because the Lord uses problems to teach us. And so let's pause and ask ourselves. I know some of us, if not all of us, go through difficulties at different seasons of our life. And perhaps now we are at some point whereby there are certain things which are tough. That itself, that problem which is evident in your life, is an opportunity to exercise faith. Because if no problem, no need to exercise faith. And if we only want small problems, then what we're going to do is we're going to exercise small faith only. So here's the challenge. Ask God for bigger problems. No? What are the challenges that we face and how quick are we to run away from it? Really? You know, there are many times we face difficulties and we pray this prayer. All of us have prayed this prayer. Lah. Okay? Lord, take it away. Take this problem away. And very often God says, let's work at it together. And we say this, you know, and we pray this. No, this is your problem. You take it away. And God says, no. I want you to handle the problem. And a lot of times we run away and say, God, you can do all things, right? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. All things are possible with God. Why don't you take this problem away? And God says, no. I put it there so that you can exercise faith. And so, if we want to be a man and woman of faith, we need to realize that problems are evident. This is a tough one. And we need to chew on this a whole lot more and say, God, how are we going to build the muscles of faith, spiritual muscles of faith, right? If we don't have resistance. If there's no resistance, you can't build muscles. If there's no problems, you're not going to be able to build faith. So, all you sports people here, the greater the resistance, they're not safe. Secondly, we realized that Hannah had problems, you know, problems were evident. But very quickly, she expressed herself through prayer. She expressed herself through prayer. Psalm 119, 119 and verse 71. Let's read this together. One, two, go. It was good. It was good for me to be afflicted. Well, read this also very difficult. Huh? It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Now, in the expression of prayer, one of the things that I believe Hannah did was she realized that God was beginning to teach her something. The attention was on God. Give careful attention to God because He is teaching us through the struggle, through the problems that we may be facing. Now, when I read this verse, you know, I thought to myself, how often can I say? I think, honestly, not often. I think for most of us as well, it's very difficult to say, it was good for me to be afflicted. tough to pray that prayer. Tough to even say that. Affliction is good. Why? Because I will learn your decrees. God sometimes, in fact, often uses problems, difficulties, and in this verse it says affliction to get our attention. And so we need to give careful attention. In Hannah's prayer, in the expression of her prayer, we also see in verse 10 that she calls out to the Lord of hosts. You know, ESV says that the American Standard uses the word Jehovah. Capital L-O-R-D, yeah? The message says, the God of the angel armies. The Lord of hosts. She realized that the Lord Almighty, the God of hosts, He has the armies in heaven that are there at God's disposal. And she called out to the Lord of hosts. You know, God is our, He says He's our friend, right? He treats us like a friend. You know, a lot of times, I read this, just this one verse, just that phrase, you know, I realized that sometimes we call to God like a friend. Buddy, buddy, hey, come la, help la. Nudge, nudge. Here, Hannah calls to the Lord of hosts. She calls out to God of the armies. This is the God that I worship. This is the God who is going to help me deal with the problem that I have. He's not just a friend. And in our prayer, we need to also learn how to express that, acknowledge who is God in our midst. The God of hosts. Number 3. In an expression of prayer, verse 12 tells us that she kept on praying. She kept on praying. There's a repeated request. In fact, you read that passage, she is praying to the extent whereby she is soaked in tears. As she goes aside, she's praying secretly. And the result of that, you read verse 18, she cannot eat. You know, she was so intense in her prayer that couldn't eat. Until Eli came to her and said, you know, what's happening? And she expressed herself. And Eli said, go. The Lord will grant you your request, right? It's almost as if Eli was there together with her saying, amen, this is what's going to happen. So be it. Right? But we see that she was continuous in her appeal. So in her prayer, we learn 3 things, you know, as in an expression. One is that her attention was on God. God, what are you trying to teach me? 2, she called out to the Almighty. It's not just, you know, the God who is, you know, beside me, my friend, but she addressed the Lord of the hosts. And thirdly, it was continuous. Her appeal was continuous. And we know from verse 19 onwards, the next thing about Hannah was that she experienced provision. And I'd like to read the passage from the message. Okay, let's read this together. Okay, 1, 2, go.
Up before dawn, they worshiped God and returned home to Ramah. Elkanah slept with Hannah, his wife, and God began making the necessary arrangements in response to what she had asked. Before the year was out, Hannah had conceived and given birth to a son. She named him Samuel, explaining, I asked God for him.
I especially like this version here because of a couple of things. The expression here, it says, and God began making the necessary arrangements in response to what she had asked. What's the necessary arrangement? Baby coming lah, right? this version describes it as if God was putting things in place, you know. It's not just man, woman come together, poop, baby, come out, you know. But here it tells us that God was putting his hand and making the arrangements, necessary arrangements in response to what Hannah had asked. You see the hand of God looking at the details, the necessary arrangements. And the other thing I like about this version is that, you know, when she gave birth to a son, she named him Samuel. I like the word explaining. She named him Samuel, explaining, I asked God for him. It's a reminder that every time she called him, it was a declaration that it was God who provided. It was because I asked God provide. And this version tells us, it gives us a picture that in her experience of God's provision, there was a constant declaration that God was involved in the whole process. God was involved. So we see the first three things is that, number one, we will face problems. If we are to be men and women of faith, problems are evident. But we need to express our prayer. And in that expression, you know that God is wanting our attention. Know that we need to call on the Almighty. Know that that expression needs to be continuous. It needs to be kept going. And when that happens, God, we will experience God's provision. And even in that, you see the example of Hannah, you know, that God is the one who is at work. I ask for him. Samuel. Not always, you know, if you can say there's a disclaimer here, you know, you don't get everything that you ask, right? And just because Hannah's prayer was answered doesn't mean that, you know, whenever we ask for anything, God's going to answer. We need to first recognize that he is in control. And God was the one who allowed that barrenness. Why? So that he can bring a greater blessing. And there are times in our life whereby God takes us through a season of difficulty, problem, so that we can learn. And when we learn, he takes us to the next level of faith, and then we see a greater blessing. And we need to realize that. Number four, we see that there is a promise that Hannah made. And while Hannah made that promise in her prayer, you know, God, if you give me a son, we talked about this last week as well in your groups, right? God, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him to you. And so we see Hannah exerting a couple of things to fulfill that promise. Number one is time. It's time. She took time, set aside time to fulfill that promise. Let's read this passage together. Verse 22, 23. Ready? One, two, go.
But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah adds to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him.
Yearly, they would travel and offer sacrifices. When the son was born, she said, you go ahead. I'm not going to go. I'm going to wait until the son, my son, Samuel, is weaned, then I will take him. And it says here, I will take him and so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Now in those days, got no, you know, instant milk powder and all that. Babies were breastfed possibly up to about 3 years or so. Okay? And so we can, you know, roughly conclude that this process took 3 years. Just about there. And so Hannah spent time nurturing her baby until she was, until he was ready to go to the, until he was weaned off and ready to go. The question that I like to ask ourselves is this, you know, do we make promises? And I'm sure a lot of us are guilty of this. Do we make promises that we forget over time? For Hannah, 3 years, the promise was still there. Every year, Elkanah will say, you know, let's go worship. She says, no, not time yet. Baby not weaned. But she had in mind to fulfill that promise. Energy, time exerted to fulfill that promise. The second thing that happened was that when the baby was weaned, verse 26, you know, she took offerings and all that. And verse 26, there was this testimony. She was there before Eli, you know, and she said this to him. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go.
Hannah said, "Excuse me, sir. Would you believe that I'm the very woman
who was standing before you at this very point, praying to God? I prayed you for God gave me what I asked for, and now I have dedicated him to God. He's dedicated to God for life. Then and there, they worship God."
Hannah probably hadn't seen Eli for the last 3 years or so. She comes to him and says, "Excuse me, sir, this is the Message version. Would you believe it that this boy, now 3 years old, the last time, you know, no baby yet. Well, at least 4 years, 1 year, no, in the womb, right?" She comes after 3-4 years and says, you know, "Would you believe that I'm the very woman? Can you remember? This was what happened here, right at this very spot. I prayed for this child. God gave me what I asked, and now I have dedicated him to God. He's dedicated to God for life." And so we see her, Hannah, exercising faith by exerting, fulfilling, putting pressure on herself on fulfilling that promise that she had made to God. And so I ask this question again. How important are the promises that we made to God? How much energy, how much time? And even when she brings Samuel to the temple, she says this, you know, this is the testimony. You know, a lot of times, if we are honest with ourselves, there's a tendency of fulfilling promises grudgingly, you know. Okay, I said it, so yeah, just do. Yeah, Lord, I say already, Lord, so no choice, all have to do. That wasn't what happened to Hannah. She gave a testimony that this is God. And I'm fulfilling the promise because He was the one. God gave me what I asked for. God gave me what I asked for, and now, this is the testimony. And now, I'm here to fulfill that promise. Four things in the life of Hannah, the woman of faith. Number one, problems were evident. Two, prayers express provision, promise, and the final one is praise. And I'd like us to read that whole praise section together. I know we read it last week. You know, praise exploded from her life. It just came forth. The beginning of chapter 2 just came out in just praise and praise and praise. Let's read chapter 2 together. Okay, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 11. Okay, ready? 1, 2, go.
Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is the God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bolts of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ashes. He seats them with princes and has inherited a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked he will silence in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Then Elkanah went home to Ammah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest.
You see, the praise of Hannah, it's all about God. It's all about who he is. There is no element of, you know, the first couple of verses in chapter 1. There's no element of sadness. There's no element of, you know, this is what's happening to me, you know, I'm lost and whatever. It's all God does this, God does that. He is mighty. He can, you know, he's the giver of life. He is the one that, you know, provides. He has wisdom, he has knowledge, he has ability. You know, at that point, when she has come to the temple, gave up his son, goes back and says, it's all about God. It's almost as if she overlooked the gift and just focused her eyes, fixed her eyes on the giver. Hannah, we see from these 5 traits of a woman of faith, you know, she, although in the first one I would say tough for us, right? None of us would readily, if we are honest with ourselves, say, come, give me more problems. But problems are going to be evident in our lives. But that takes us to the next level. How do we express our prayers? And when God provides, what happens then? The promises that we make, how detailed are we? How much time and energy do we put in to fulfill the promises that we said we will do? And then the expression of praise. At the camp, we asked this question, what's that one phrase? What are some of the things from that prayer that we need to pray a little bit more often? We need to adopt in our lives a little bit more. Which part of that prayer? And if you look at that prayer, it's an explosion of praise that just comes forth. If you read 1 Samuel, you will see that, you know, Samuel was very, very significant in shaping the history. In fact, God's redemptive history for Israel. Samuel was a key figure in doing that. Why? I believe because he was very much impacted by mom. Mom would still go on a yearly basis to visit him. First 3 years solely with him. And then after that, on a yearly basis to visit him. Encourage him. You read earlier in this passage, you know, about Eli's sons, two of his sons. Right? And we also know that, you know, his sons did detestable things. God was really, really, you know, angry with these two fellas, right? Eli's sons. And you read about Eli and his sons. There's no mention about mom, the woman who was there to build up the kids in comparison to Samuel, whom mom was there. Today is Mother's Day. And yeah, there are many lessons that we can learn from this woman of faith, this mom of faith. But one of the things that I like us to also think about is this whole area of, you know, how sacrifice, and we all know this, mom has sacrificed lots, right? So I want to leave us with this question, you know, while there are many spiritual lessons to learn about Hannah. And we begin the story of Hannah with Elkanah say, "Hey, I honor you." Even before she was a mom, Elkanah says, I honor you. And she honored the Lord. What about us today? We think about Mother's Day, how much do we honor our mom? I'd like us to do this right now. Take out your handphone. Come on, everybody, take out your headphone. Take out your headphone. Send your text to your mom right now. Say, "Mom, I honor you." Even if she's sitting next to you, don't let her see. Just, you know. Don't say, "Mom, I'm sending this text to you because Pastor told me to." You know, don't say that. But pause for a moment and think about what mom has done. And I want you to just honor your mom right now and say, "Mom, you know, whether you use WhatsApp or SMS or what, doesn't matter. Okay? Father God, I want to pray for all the moms that are represented here. Moms that are at home, who may be away. I want to thank you for each one of them. I want to thank you, Lord, that you have given them to us. And we ask right now that your blessing will be upon them. Lord, that your presence will be so real in their life. Lord, I want to pray also for all those here who will be moms in the future. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would teach us, Lord, how to honor you. Lord, for the men who are here as well, Father, there are so many lessons that we can learn from this woman of faith. And we ask, O God, that you would teach us your ways. That you would teach us, Lord, to be faithful to you, God, amidst problems, Lord, not to run away, but to know that you are teaching us something. And in our prayer, know that, Lord, we need to give you our attention. We need to be continuous and consistent in our prayer. And Father, we know that you are the one who provides. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that even as we have, all of us have made a commitment to live our lives for you, Father, a promise, Lord, we pray that you would teach us how to live out that promise diligently, deliberately. Cause, Lord, praise to just overflow from our lives and our hearts constantly. So, Father, I ask, Lord, for your blessing upon each and every one of us here. Each mom that's represented here, all the families that are here. Lord, moms that perhaps may even be overseas far away, Lord, you bless them. Father, be very, very close to them. We give you thanks for your grace upon each and every one of our lives. We thank you. We give you thanks for our moms. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.